I can't remember a time in my life where someone hasn't hated me. From a young child, I was labelled too loud, too wild, too much. Somehow, despite it all, it has never fazed me. Don't get me wrong, of course at times my ego has a pity party, but it's always been short-lived and the judgment of others has only fueled me to be even louder. I've survived childhood abuse, eating disorders, heartache, homelessness, substance abuse, and everything in between. Join me as I dive into it all and hopefully my rambles can encourage you to be your most outspoken self. Let's get controversial together. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to episode 2 of my podcast. Thank you to everybody that's reached out and sent love, sent support, congratulated me. I really, really appreciate it. And I was really pleasantly surprised to have received some really incredible messages from people that have very opposing views to myself that still thanked me for that podcast, that still thanked me for being authentic in myself. And it allowed them to have the opportunity to actually understand where I was coming from with some things. So that's been really, really amazing. And that's, you know, part of the reason I wanted to do this podcast is I really hoped that people would be able to dive in and actually get to know me. It's really hard to get to know somebody when you see, you know, a brief little blog or a 1 minute TikTok where somebody's being a bit of a smart ass. And I often get lots of comments from people in my life that, you know, you're really different to how you are online. Like I'm still very much the same, but you get a very outspoken version of myself. You don't get to have that deeper layer of those conversations and dive into different things. But I don't know where all of this is going to go. Also, I want to quickly touch on a couple of people, not many, a couple of people had commented on the audio from the last podcast, and perhaps this one will be just as shit as well. Until I am suddenly rich, this is just how you're going to have to put up with it. I was sick of delaying this process and I kept making excuses as to why I couldn't do my podcast yet. And I just want to do it. I just want to get it out there. Eventually I will get, you know, an incredible microphone. I'll get the proper system and the setup and things will go a lot smoother. But for now, I just want to get this out there. I want to put it out there. I want to show people as well that if you want to do something, just do it. We don't have to sit here and fall back on our excuses as to why we can't make it happen. Like if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. At least you've tried it. You've told the universe this is what you want. And yeah, so far, I'm really pleased with where it's gone. I can't believe how many streams it's already had. Like it's just mind-blowing. I know that I've got a, you know, a bigger social media following on TikTok and I know people watch my lives and stuff, but it's still really cool to see, you know, different things like this grow and watch people dive in. So today we are going to talk about the affair. I know it is still very a controversial thing that people are still talking about. You know, videos are being made, conversations are still being spoken about this, and you know, maybe by the end of listening to this, you'll just be furious at me. Maybe you'll understand a little bit. Maybe you won't give a shit. I don't really care. I want to purge it out. And so, yeah, this episode will be titled Confessions of the Other Woman. And that's what we're going to go into. So I wanted to start this podcast off with, and I'd spoken about it. I did a blog labeled Confessions of the Other Woman. And that's where I first started speaking about this affair, not as openly as I have been over the last couple of weeks. It was still quite hidden. I was still really reserved with everything. But when people had seen it and I did a little intro on my TikTok, people had wanted me to read out more. So I had said when I eventually have a podcast, I would read to you the post that I did first. Now I will give warning. I really am shit at reading out loud, so I'm probably going to stumble over my own words. This blog is up on my Facebook if you want to just go through and read through it smoothly without me sounding like a fucking idiot. but anyway, we're going to dive into that and then I'm just going to speak about whatever comes. I don't know. I don't really have a plan for this. I haven't written myself a list for how this is going to come out, so it just is what it is. And I'm always an open book. If anybody has any questions, you know, you're welcome to shoot me a message on my socials. You're welcome to pop a comment on my TikToks. Like I always try to be as authentic and open as I can. So here we go. Confessions of the Other Woman. Just reading the headline alone, most of you will form your opinions about me. I know I'll be hated. I get it. Once upon a time, I would have hated me too. I never imagined that I would have been someone's other woman, but that's exactly what happened. I thought it was love. Maybe after all, it was my unhealed trauma and desire to be loved, which allowed me to fall into the most emotionally draining experiences of my life. I know I was wrong for allowing this affair to even begin, let alone last so long, but I am human, and just like everyone else, I am figuring this thing called life out while trying to detach from a lifetime of heartache and pain. I was wrong, and that's karma I will need to wear. Let's rewind to 2018. I arrived early to a friend's wedding to help out, and that's precisely where my life spun into a whirlwind. Standing there, setting up, something in the corner of my eye caught my attention. I looked up and instantly time felt like it froze. I know how stupid this next part will sound. Honestly, if I had have heard someone say this before that crazy day, I would have eye-rolled so vigorously they may have popped out. But it was this next moment hitting me so genuinely hard that set me on a path of confusion for years. As this man walked closer, things went into slow motion. My heart immediately started beating out of my chest and everything in me was screaming that I needed to be near him. I tried to play it cool, but it wasn't long before I was gravitating towards him. As soon as we began to speak, I felt this immediate sense of peace. I felt so scared and nervous, yet so comfortable. I felt like I had already known him a lifetime and 100 lifetimes before. If home was a feeling, I had found it. Whatever journey this life was taking me on, I had finally arrived at my destination. My head was trying to keep up with the conversation while my heart ached to just hold him. Crazy, right? I kept telling myself, this is crazy. But logic and common sense had left the building. I was head over heels immediately. As the day went on, I couldn't keep myself from heading back to talk to this man. This soft-spoken, well-mannered, beautiful blue-eyed man. He was nothing like my usual type, but the most perfect man I had ever seen. I couldn't believe that someone so perfect existed. I have never felt so at peace with anyone in my life. Just sitting beside him gave me comfort I had never known or felt before. The night wrapped up and we went our separate ways. I had texted him the next day and didn't hear back. I was confused and hurt and already missing him like crazy, but I tried to tell myself I was being stupid. I barely knew this person. It was another day later when he video called me. His eyes immediately melted me and my heart felt at peace once more. No matter what, this was my person. Nothing else mattered to me. He started chatting and I could see he had something heavy to tell me. He told me he'd thought about me nonstop. In fact, the following day of the event, he had travelled back to my town hoping fate would allow us to bump into each other again. He'd said he was a big believer in things happening for a reason and he wanted to apologise for being quiet. He explained he was in the middle of a separation and wasn't really sure what was going on with it all. That initial conversation led me to believe that obviously the relationship he'd been in had been rocky for some time. I can't recall the exact conversation now, but he genuinely seemed to be feeling similar feelings to myself, but was clearly in a confusing emotional place. We spoke for a bit before wrapping the conversation up. I still felt confused, but excited at the feelings he made me feel. Was this actually what falling in love was? I thought I had known love, but this was something else. My mind was consumed by his charm, but I still needed answers. I texted him saying I loved our conversation, but I still didn't really know where that left me, or us. He said he was confused and he wasn't sure, but he really liked me and cared for me already. I decided I would wait for clarity. I mean, what harm was there in just texting and getting to know someone while they were living on their own and working out what they wanted? The days went on and with every ding on my phone, my heart would race. He'd text, but he'd also call, always a FaceTime, leaving me gushing like a teen girl talking to her first crush. Everything about him melted me. As the time went on, I would press to see where I stood. It was always, it's complicated. He wasn't sure. There was always an excuse. One day I was feeling overwhelmed and decided that this relationship he was apparently walking away from was lingering on, so I texted him and said that I didn't want to hurt another woman, so it's best we go our separate ways. I think in that moment I had hoped he would say he didn't want that he was definitely moving on from that relationship, but instead I got a message saying he understood and that he was very sad, but he got it. A stab to the heart, but I thought surely with a connection like this, he'd have a change of heart. Not long after that, I had a night out with a friend. There was a band playing at our local pub. The singer? None other than the man I was already head over heels in love with. He looked at me and my soul wanted to cry. I wanted nothing more than to hold him forever. He asked me to sit with him and his bandmate in between sets and conversation flowed effortlessly. I couldn't stop staring into those blue eyes. In that moment, despite a pub full of drunken crazies, I felt like we were the only two people in the world. At the end of the night, he was kind enough to drop me off at my place on his way home. We shared a brief but beautiful first kiss. That was it for me. Nothing or no one else mattered. This was my person. We'd text constantly, but it was apparent that he was very much still in a relationship. I convinced myself that the connection was so strong that his partner didn't matter. I suppose my desire for love and connection and years of unhealed trauma left me selfishly chasing this man. I convinced myself their relationship was on borrowed time. He'd tell me over and over it was complicated. Kids were involved from previous relationships and he didn't want to hurt them. His desire to not hurt children that weren't even biologically his made me love him even more. After all, with three children of my own, loving stepdad isn't exactly a deal breaker. I know that in black and white terms it's simple. A taken man means you stay away, but emotions can take over our whole existence. I don't think there's a person on this planet that can say emotions have never influenced decisions they've made. I've been in a lot of toxic relationships in my life, but the way this man spoke to me was like nothing I've experienced before. And to watch him as he loved and adored his own children made me desire him so much more. To have someone that put family first is something I've never experienced but forever longed for. I was happy to wait. This man truly seemed just as infatuated with me as I was him. When we'd speak, he would be just as nervous. When we'd touch, he'd tremble just as much as I did. A raging boner would be present for every hug, and many FaceTimes would turn into him having to relieve himself. For the first time in my entire life, I felt that someone truly cared about me with no conditions, that I had such an effect on someone that my simple presence would throw their central nervous system out of whack. I felt irresistible. In hindsight, I see how fooled I was, but despite almost every man betraying me in the past from childhood, I still trusted him with every part of my being. I gave him my whole heart and trusted him entirely with it, only to learn I'd been manipulated and used once again. The user just came in a different package. As time went on, I naturally became frustrated at the situation. I couldn't understand how he'd thought this situation was less cruel to the woman he was with, much less me. Surely he'd want to lead by example and show his children it's better to separate than to stay in an unhealthy relationship, right? I'll never know if he truly ever planned to separate or if this was just an ego boost to him. We'd go through periods of me blocking him or deleting him. I'd always hoped he'd tell me he couldn't live without me, but it was always the same thing. He understood and didn't want to hurt me more, but eventually we'd end up communicating again. Each time, I would hope it would be different, and that was the cycle that continued for years. At one stage, he'd completely ghosted me. I was broken. From the start, I had explained to him, that's the one thing that shatters me. It triggers all of my abandonment issues and puts me into a heavy depression. I was angry and confused and absolutely heartbroken. Months went on and I found myself again. I was feeling happy and finally felt free from my attachment to him. Until one morning, a private number called. I answered thinking it may be one of my children's therapists. I heard a hey. And immediately my heart dropped into my stomach. It was him. He asked if we could chat. He said he'd miss me, but things were still the same for him. He apologized for his actions and asked if we could start over. My brain screamed at me to hang up, but my heart was already sucked back in. Of course we could. All I wanted was him, in any capacity I could. I guess he knew that and used it to his advantage. He wanted the best of both worlds. I convinced myself, whenever I would doubt his feelings for me, that he must love me. Why would he call me after all these months? He feels the same way I do. I now see how stupid I was, but I didn't then. I wanted so badly to feel like I meant something to someone, that I told myself I could handle loving him in the dark, praying he'd turn around and see how much I must love him and choose me. Maybe she would leave him, as she was obviously so unhappy too. The bullshit merry-go-round just went on and on. The same old shit, but different days. As time rolled on, I could feel him pulling back. I would ask him about it and it would be excuse after excuse, making me feel like I was the crazy one. Oh, how I love being gaslit. It was all in my head, but recently I went over some of our old messages and I feel stupid for not walking away. He gave me less than the bare minimum, way less. I still tried to give him all of me. If I felt he was down, I would try my hardest to pour my love into a text because God knows I wasn't allowed to call. If something was wrong with his children, I would try to reassure him, at times even purchase his daughter gifts. His daughter was sick for a period of time, and I can't even tell you how much sleep I lost worrying about them both. I invested so much of my heart into a person that I now know never really cared. I think for a while he convinced himself he did, but I think the novelty wore off and he just didn't know how to tell me. I was the other woman. I thought I was a whole lot of things, but in reality, until he needed his ego stroked, I didn't exist. There's so much more to this story, but my heart still carries so much heaviness that I feel sick trying to relieve it all. We no longer speak, and I think he's thankful for that. I had a really low day not too long ago, and I reached out. I was hurting and just reaching for someone to talk to. I asked if we could chat, but he told me he works too much to talk to me. A kick in the guts on a day I was already down. You'd think if someone had loved you so purely for so many years, you could at least speak to them for a few minutes. But I guess in reality, he was never even that much, not even a friend. That response from him helped me realize how much I had fooled myself, how stupid I really was. He never cared. As gross as it is for me to accept, this purely was a dirty affair to him, and I believed it to be true love. Being the other woman isn't something I'm proud of. I'm so deeply sorry to his partner, and that's a heaviness I'll wear forever. I'm ashamed that it was all for nothing, and I wonder how many other women meet the same fate. They gave themselves to another who belonged to a woman not too different from them, a mother, a daughter, a sister, for no damn reason. I guess I needed to finally get this off my chest and hopefully help others understand that sometimes it's not always secret rendezvous, dirty sex. Sometimes the other woman accidentally gets to this place and desperately hopes for a different outcome. I know I'm not the victim, but I was so fooled for so long. If I had have realized that I was nothing but a midlife crisis, I would never have sat with him at that wedding. I would never have pursued him. I would never have wasted 4 years of my life convincing myself that I had finally found the love I had longed for. Heck, I wouldn't have even sat with him if I got an inkling he was taken. In a strange way, I feel so deeply in love that it almost feels like I've been cheated on too. But we both got the parts of him that he didn't want to share with each other. I'm still healing from this, but I think the scars will live with me forever. I don't know that I'll ever feel safe to love again. I can't see myself ever trusting another man as long as I live. Kind of feels like all of them are wolves in sheep's clothing at this point. But maybe that's just the karma I need to wear now. Only time will tell. To any woman in this situation, walk away now. Trust me, you aren't special. He won't choose you. You aren't the exception. You deserve peace. You deserve love. You'll never find it there. That's really crazy to... I haven't read back over that since I wrote it. And obviously so much more has come out since I wrote that. And at that stage, I was still trying to open up a little bit, but keep the secret as well. You know, obviously it's such a taboo thing, but I don't know what was the final kicker for me. Obviously, you know, I've had so long to sort of sit with this, but I was always so confused because, like I said, I genuinely thought this person was in love with me. Like, I truly felt that in my being. Like, he is... I think out of all my toxic relationships, this person has now taken the cake for the biggest narcissist I've ever encountered. And that says a lot when you know my ex-partners. But, you know, the conversations that we had, the way that he held himself, it is purely evil. And, you know, I truly spent all this time questioning, right? Every single day I would question why, you know, why he loved me so much. He would say things to me like, because he had, before this partner, he'd had a wife, he'd separated and they're now divorced. And he'd always said after that, you know, he'd loved her, he would never get married again. And he'd always said to me like, oh my God, like you actually make me want to get married again. You make me think that I could get married again. Like I could see myself marrying you. I could see myself having a future with you. I've never experienced this. So, you know, what woman isn't going to get shook to her core with that? You know, so I've spent all this time going over like how, you know, if I make someone feel that way, if I love them, like I understand there's children, I understand that it's complex. Like I understand there's so much more. But how can he not choose me then? How can he be okay without me? How is he not consumed by me? Like it was just so confusing. And, you know, I finally snapped one night and I did a TikTok saying, imagine falling in love with a wedding celebrant only to find out they were used. And from there, a woman reached out and she'd had the same experience with him. And as painful as that was, I finally got clarity. Like all these years, like I finally, it's not this confusing thing of he loves me so much, but why aren't we together? He never loved me. This was never anything. This was an ego boost, an affair, whatever it was. And more women have come out of the woodwork since that as well. his MO as far as any woman that I've communicated with at the moment with the affairs that he's had over the last few years. He's got a thing for single mothers. That's his drive. I guess that's his turn on. I don't know whether it's a power trip. I don't know whether he thinks, you know, our single mums are desperate. I don't know what it is, but it's really, that's incredibly cruel, incredibly manipulative. And, you know, to be a marriage celebrant, you know, that's where I'd also fall back. I'm like, this is a person that marries people. Like, you've got to honor and love and respect love to marry people, right? Because, you know, marriage celebrant, you've got to meet the couple and ensure that you feel they're genuinely in love to agree to marry them. Like, you have to really value love. So I was like, there's no way. And, you know, again, when we were meeting up with each other and I spoke about, you know, him being nervous and me being nervous, he'd always, you know, be shaking and he'd be like, I've never done anything like this before. Like, I feel so bad. I feel so guilty. This is eating me alive. And he'd always be like, no, I don't want to do too much because I would never want you to think that I would do this to you if we were in a relationship. I need you to know that I would never do this to you. Like, I feel so bad and I'm so conflicted. But I met him in 2018. And the first woman that reached out to me met him in 2019. So 2019 was a period where I felt we were really getting along. I felt our conversations were really deep. I felt we had this really strong connection around that. Like, I felt like it was like the arse end of 2019 that I started to be like, this is really fucking frustrating. You know, I put up with a lot. But it turns out, no, in the time that I thought we were good, he was also serenading another woman. And before I'd done this episode, I should have asked if she would have joined in and had a conversation as well. But, you know, she's opened up and told me that he was talking about marriage with her. He would call her up and sing on his guitar and sing to her and say he was going to sing at their wedding. Like, he is very manipulating. And, you know, when you are a woman that has been so emotionally battered and so deprived of love, if you've got someone, you know, randomly messaging you, you are such an enigma. Like, I'm so consumed by you. Like, you're overwhelming. You're so incredible. You are such an amazing mother. Like, the things you do for this world is incredible. Like, of course you're going to be like smitten. You're going to be like, oh my God, no one's ever communicated like this to me before. No one's said these things. Like, I was so desperate to be loved. And it's so fucking frustrating because I know because of my trauma and my heartache, I've ended up in shitty relationships in the past. And after Morrison's dad, when we split up, that was it for me. I was like, I'm done. Like, I just need to heal. I need to work on myself. I need to be the best mother that I can be to my babies. Like, that's all I care about. This is my life. So when I went to that wedding, I was not, like, meeting somebody was the last thing I ever expected, anticipated, thought, hoped. Like, I was going to my friend's wedding. Like, I was going to have a ball, you know, and then I met this person and I felt all these feelings I'd never felt before. And I try to make sense, like, why? Like, why did I meet this person? Why did I feel this deeply about this person before we'd even have a conversation? You know, before he even got to manipulate me, I was already like, oh, I love him so much. I can't make sense of that. I still haven't made sense of that. I'm sure eventually there'll be some clarity, but it was fucking brutal. And there's, you know, conversations and rumors now, and I've had harassment from his partner's best friend. She started harassing me. She started threatening me. And, you know, her comment was like, was almost like this, you know, 15-year-old mindset. Like, I, you know, maybe, I don't know what's going on. I don't want to, you know, sit here and put this person down. She's obviously got a lot of issues, especially if she's choosing to remain with this person, knowing he's cheated the entire time, you know. But this toxic mindset that they were spewing out, you're just jealous, he didn't pick you, he's picked Claire, he'll always pick Claire. He's not picking her if he's having a fucking 4-year affair and 3,000 other affairs in between. Like, he's not, that's disgusting. And I'm not jaded that he didn't pick me. I'm hurt. I'm genuinely hurt because I was lied to, because I was manipulated, because I was, you know, left heartbroken. And I said so many times to him, look, if this is just a fling, like, it is what it is. Tell me, like, just tell me. I loved him so profoundly you know, I potentially still would have put up with that. But he was always like, this is not what it's it. There's no one else. Like, I'm hurt at that betrayal. I'm hurt at being manipulated once more. I'm hurt at the lies and the bullshit. I'm hurt at the wasted years. Like, I've wasted years of my life. I stayed loyal to this person. You know, the thought of being with another man made me feel like I was cheating, which is fuck, because he was going home to another woman each night. Well, multiple women now, I know. But, you know, as far as I knew at that time, he was going home to someone else, but I still couldn't bring myself. I was like, it's not fair if, you know, I'm entering a relationship and then this poor person that's meeting me doesn't know I'm secretly in love with this other person. Like, I've just put so much on hold for this person, and I've deprived my children of, you know, potentially having a father figure in all these years. And, you know, I haven't gone into it too much on my social media. I did a blog on it at some stage, so I will dive into self-harm, you know, at another stage. So trigger warning, you know, if you don't want to hear that, turn this part off now. You know, I used to self-harm as a teenager quite a lot. That's what got me through a lot of the trauma that I'd been through. And it took me a long time to actually realize what self-harming was, you know, to really understand that process of what I was trying to do. I was just trying to feel like a release. Back at that time in my teenage years, I don't know whether it's just because it wasn't, you know, we didn't have as many conversations as we do now, around these things, but, you know, people were labeling me, oh, she just wants attention. She just wants attention. She's a drama queen. You know, that's not what it was at all. I was desperate to feel something else than this internal pain that I couldn't make sense of. I needed to see, like, why was I hurting? I needed a physical wound, you know, and I had spent so many years working on that. And, you know, anybody that's self-harmed will know that lays in the back of your mind. You know, you go through something and sometimes that'll be the first thought you have, like self-harm, just go and, you know, go and cut. And, you know, you have to battle with that and go, that's not healthy. That's not it. Let me breathe. Let me do this. Let me do that. And so for years, you know, I've been able to not self-harm. And during the period of homelessness, because of, I guess it's, you know, not just purely him, but there was the weight of the world on my shoulders. We were homeless. We were struggling financially. We had, you know, our online bullying was at its most. Like, there was so much, but then there was him as well in the back of my head, confusing me, like drowning me. Like, I just, and I snapped and I self-harmed. And I'm so angry that I allowed a person to get me to that point again. So I haven't self-harmed in a long time again. That incident happened while I was staying, while we were homeless, and it hasn't happened again since. But I'm frustrated, you know, that it broke that period for me. I'm really upset that that happened. And I think that part got the heaviest for me because, as well as this person, you know, being a fucking marriage celebrant and a musician and a DJ, he was also managing, I don't know, I can't remember his exact role, but he worked in like caravan parks. He doesn't work there now. And so again, we were going through this period of not communicating when I become homeless, me frustrated at this fucking bullshit. And he'd reached out to me when I was in one of the motels and he said, I can put you up. I can't do a lot. You know, my hands are tied, but I can put you in a cabin for a week. And I know he goes, it's not a big help, but hopefully it's a little bit of a help. Hopefully you're not going through this cycle for too long. So I was like, great. That's amazing. Like, just a week of security. Like, it's incredible. So we went to stay at this cabin and that's where his office was, at this cabin. So it ended up being one of the cheapest places to stay at in town for us. This was the most affordable place, was to stay at this cabin. And so we had that week on him, but following that week, it was obviously up to me. And so I was paying each week and I was so conflicting being near this person, but then having them drive home to their partner, like, it started to really become heavy. And there was no compassion from him. There was no empathy around that. There was nothing. He was just so self-entitled and selfish. Like, it was all about him and his feelings and, you know, whatever was happening in his life. And so eventually, you know, I made the decision that I can't stay in this cabin anymore. We went to stay at a motel and it was more expensive, but for my own mental health, I needed to be away from him. Like, I could not continue to lay in that bed each night while he drove home to her and then come the next day and tell me, you know, he cares about me so much. Like, it was fucked. It's so sick. It's so twisted. There's so many fucking elements to it. And yeah, it was just, that was a heavy, heavy fucking period for me. And I think that's really where I started to wake up and see, you know, this person doesn't genuinely care about you. You know, this person has ulterior motives. And he would feel me pull back. You know, I would start to pull back. You know, I wouldn't be as open. I wouldn't communicate as much with him. I wouldn't message as frequently. And it was frustrating because he would come to my cabin, and if I was there, he'd fucking say hello. But if I'd say I was out for the day or taking the kids out, I'd come home and there was like a little fucking dog treat he'd left for me. He'd leave me this little packet of Oreos. I used to love Oreos, right? And that's probably why he started buying them, because I used to live on Oreos. But he fucking has made me despise Oreos. I cannot eat them now without wanting to fucking throw up. Because I'd come back if I wasn't talking to him, and there'd be a packet of fucking Oreos on the doorstep of this cabin. Just a little dog treat. Here's a little fucking, here's some little breadcrumbs. Here, Sarah, like, have your little treat like a good little girl while you sit around and wait for me while I'm going home and, you know, having a fake fucking relationship. And now, you know, I'm also having fucking 78 other thousand women, probably in the park. Because the woman that I've spoken to, the 2019 woman, she had been invited. He's like, come and stay at the cabins with me. She'd never gone. She had children, single mum. So she hadn't done it. But how many other women had he invited? Like, did he have fucking 20 of us there? And he was just going cabin to cabin. Like, that guy must have fucking so much stamina. Like, I don't understand how he could have that many women going at once. But yeah, apparently he can. And it's funny because he'd often say to me things like, you do so much, like obviously my kids do so many activities and we do so many things together as a family, you know, plus I do my social media stuff. And he'd always be like, I don't know how you do it all. I don't know how you fit it in. Like, you're like superwoman. Like, you do all these things. You're so inspiring. Well, mate, take a few women off your roster. If you didn't have fucking 78 different women to keep up with, you'd probably have a lot more time as well. Like, maybe step back a bit from the cheating and you'll fit a little bit more in. Like, what the fuck? Yeah, so I don't really know where else to go with that. I hope listening to this episode and, you know, listening to that blog and listening to my sort of viewpoint, you'll understand it wasn't like I didn't fucking go out like seductively looking for this fucking married man and go, well, you're mine. I bet I can make you sleep with me. Like, I just went out. I met someone who made me believe that they were fucking single the first night and made me believe that they were separating, and I fell in love. And, you know, I should have walked away. Of course, I should have walked away when I realized it wasn't, but no one can tell me that they've never made a mistake in their life. Like, none of us are perfect, and you do not know what you're going to do in a relationship until you're in that situation, or in what you're going to do in a situation until you're in that situation. None of us know what we're going to do. None of us know how we're going to handle the situation. None of us know how we're going to navigate. We can have opinions on it. We can think we know. But until you are fucking head deep, head over heels, like, none of us know how we'll respond. And it was fucked. And I can only hope that me speaking about this might help any other woman in that situation realize you're not special. He's actually never going to leave you. And it's crazy, because I know of so many women that have been in this situation. I know of so many women that have been lied and manipulated to for years. My friend was telling me that she knows of a girl, I think it was 6 years or 8 years, that this woman had invested. You know, they were working together and this person was saying he's going to leave all the time. I used to have a close friend who had tried to warn me herself. She's like, I'm telling you, this is like my situation. I was always like, no, you don't understand. Like, this person's different. He doesn't do that job. He does this and he's genuine. And she was always like, he's not. Like, she had gone over to, she'd met him, already fallen head over heels, had gone to, I think it was Vegas, and, you know, found out about this person, and the relationship had just sizzled from there. It had always been, he's going to leave this person. He loves her more. Never did. And years later, right, so she'd cut him out. She's like, I'm fucking done with your bullshit. It's going nowhere. The partner had knew about her, and years later, this person still reaches out to her. So this, like, just blows my mind that, you know, this in my situation, when the friend reached out to me and she's like, oh, you're just jealous. Like, there probably will be a stage that this person based on his behavior before, will reach out to me at some stage, because he always has, even when I've tried to walk away. Who knows? I don't know. Maybe this time, now that I've fucking publicly outed him, he'll fucking actually back the fuck up. Because I had the police ring me the other day. They had rang me and his partner had gone into the station and she wasn't happy that people were having these conversations. And I was like, first of all, it's social media. People are going to get over this in 2 fucking minutes. Like, move on. Obviously, they're not big social media users. If you suddenly are getting spoken about, it's suddenly like this big fucking scary thing. But we all know how the internet works. People will get over this in a matter of fucking minutes. And, you know, I said, if he didn't want to, like, don't play with fire if you don't want to get burnt. If he didn't want to eventually be exposed or spoken about, stop fucking having affairs. I said, I'm not what I'm doing. It's not defamation. I'm not saying, like, I'm speaking my truth. Like, as a human being going through a human experience, I have a fucking right to speak about my experience. And that as well is where so much of the heaviness for me has consumed me, excuse me, and this depression has overtaken me. Like, I lost myself loving this person and having to keep this big secret. And the last time I had to keep a big secret for a man was when I was being sexually abused by my ex-stepfather. That was the biggest secret I had to keep for a man. And then all of a sudden, here we are. And it's a completely different context. I'm not saying that this, you know, this person is anything like a fucking pedophile. But that's, I was consumed. I had to keep this deep, dark, dirty secret. Like, this is, you know, we can't let anyone know about this dirty secret. And it fucking swallowed me whole. Like, I have turned to depressive eating. I've dealt with eating disorders over the years, and it triggered my eating disorders. And I was, you know, binge eating and eating for comfort and trying to swallow these feelings down and swallow this secret down, you know, because God forbid we talk about it or anyone can know. You know, he was trying to at times have me change my phone settings. When I get text messages, part of the message displays, he was like, oh, you need to get that off. We need to get that off. You can't have, you know, my messages semi-display. I'm like, who the fuck even looks at my phone that would even know you? Like, you know, there was so much of that. And then, you know, God forbid I texted him at an inappropriate hour. So he blocked my number so that I couldn't text him. I could only message him on Messenger, I suppose. He's got that hidden or secret or silenced or at home or whatever. So it's just like, I'm sick of keeping this secret. Like, I need to fucking purge this out. I need to speak about it. Like, if you have been through abuse, like, you would understand how overwhelming that feeling is, trying to keep things down and hidden and secret and, you know, feeling this heartbreak all on your own. You know, I couldn't publicly go, oh my, you know, I'm so sad about this. I had to keep it this deep, dark secret and cry on my own and, you know, not have a friend come over and comfort me or, you know, eat some fucking chocolate and bitch about this stupid man. Like, it had to be just hidden in secrecy, in dark, confused, questioning the what ifs, the whys, the maybes. Like, it was a fucked situation to be in. And again, I'm not the victim. Like, it's a fuck situation to be his partner. It really fucking is. And I hope one day she can learn to value herself. I hope that one day she can learn that she deserves to be loved the way that she loves somebody. And I would say that to him all the time. I would say, you know, you are obviously not totally in love with this woman. Like, obviously you have love for this person. There's no doubt about that. You've been with this person for 8 years now. So you obviously have love for them, you know, something obviously attracted. Now, I truly believe with these two, from the conversations that I've had with him, and who knows how much is true though, but he had a very traumatic ending to his last relationship. She had a traumatic ending to her last relationship. And I've tried to explain to him, like, I really think that they were trauma bonded. You know, none of them, neither of those people healed. They met each other, you know, really fast after their separations. So they didn't give themselves that time to fall in love with themselves or discover who they are or really heal and connect from that. They've just gone toxic relationship ending. We met each other and we have to cling to each other, you know, cling, cling, cling. We need to feel validated. We need to feel love. We need to feel secure. And then it's just been this toxic explosion over all this time. You know, it was never going to fucking work. It was never going to work. And I hope that one day she can go, oh, hang on, he's been unfaithful for 8 years. He's probably not a great person. I probably need to choose myself. I need to choose my children. Like, I need to show my children what a healthy, stable, functioning relationship looks like. Not somebody devaluing me, not somebody cheating on me. You know, I hope for her that she can find that peace within herself, and then she can heal, and then she can then meet someone who will love her authentically without loving half of the fucking mid-north coast on top of that. Like, I genuinely, genuinely do. And I still even, I hope he can heal. You know, I don't know whether, and he'll never give me answers. You know, I spoke to him when I found out about this other 2019 woman, and I'd asked him, just tell me the truth. He still couldn't be truthful. He still was denying her. And I was like, well, this is her name. This is whatever. And then he'd be like, oh, and then he'd give a little bit, but still wouldn't admit to it all, you know? And so I don't know whether he had this toxic relationship and then he's just not healed from it and he has to make himself feel a bit better. He's just cheated. Or maybe he cheated in his marriage. I don't know. Somebody had reached out and said that he was always like known to be or given off this womanizer energy even when he was married. So maybe that's something within his core, his insecurity. I don't know what it is. Like, it's really mind-blowing to know that a middle-aged, short-dicked man, like, not to be mean, but like, you've got, like, where is your cockiness coming from? You are not walking around with this fucking 12-inch dick, fucking Vin Diesel lookalike. Like, you're a balding middle-aged man with a bit of a fucking gut. Like, why are you so cocky? I guess we've painted these womanizers to look a certain way when really they are just the fucking Joe Blow next to you, which is scary because now I genuinely am traumatized and I genuinely feel like every single man will cheat. Like, I don't believe or trust there's a genuine one. I really don't. If this person who makes everybody around him think that he would never do this, if he can do it, then I feel like everyone can do it. So I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I can never have a relationship or trust that something would work again. I don't know. Like, I'm still healing from whatever the fuck this was for 4 years. I've obviously got some shadow work that I need to work through, but my children, you know, they want a dad, they want a father figure. And I'd love to give that to them one day, but I'm like, how do I ever break away from this now? How do I ever live with that comfort or trust? Like, I just don't know I could ever allow myself to go into that place. And, you know, I don't know. I guess time will tell. Maybe I'll meet someone else, but I think I just need to try and understand why I felt those deep feelings for him. You know, if it was obviously, like, it obviously wasn't, nothing about it was real, nothing about it at all, which is, it's a hard pill to swallow to know that you've just been fucking duped like a dickhead. And the red flags were there, weren't they? Like, his fucking lack of fucking empathy and compassion, the little fucking dog treat Oreo biscuits. But when I met him, he was living in his own house. He was living in his own house. So who wouldn't think that they were separating and going their separate way? And in that time frame, he'd had a really bad accident. And he'd broken his, I'm so thirsty, so excuse my dry voice, but he'd had a bad accident, broke his shoulder really badly. And you know how Facebook tells you like fucking everything about everyone? I was scrolling on Facebook, he was on my Facebook, and it had come up that he was selling stuff. And I messaged him, I'm like, are you moving? Like, is there something you should tell me? And he's like, oh, no, just, you know, clearing out. I was like, oh yeah, cool, sweet, no worries. Anyway, then again, his behavior had just shifted, right? The way he would communicate, the times of his texting and his phone calls just felt different. Like, we're women, we know when something's up, really. We just try and fucking ignore our intuition. And so I'd messaged again, he was selling something else. And I was like, what's going on? Like, something's different. Like, are you moving? Like, what's happening? And he'd confessed that he'd moved back in with Claire. He'd moved back in with her. And he had said to me, though, he said, with my shoulder, I can't look after the kids when they come and visit. And I'm really struggling to get anything done. And I can't do this and I can't do that. And, you know, Claire's agreed for me to come and stay while my injury's healing. And he's like, don't worry, it's not permanent. It's only temporary. I promise, you know, promise with his little purple love heart that he would do. So, you know, but then obviously this little immediate time that he's recovering turned into fucking years. And I was like, what the, like, you fucking said that that was not going to be a long time. And here we are fucking years later. Oh, so that was again a red flag. If you take anything from this, just trust your fucking intuition. Like when something says something doesn't feel right, or you're getting a feeling, a niggling feeling about a man, trust it, ride with it, roll with it, because chances are something's fucking up, because it was up. So anyway, we live and learn. I hope one day I can heal from it authentically. I hope one day I don't feel like I'm not consumed by this overwhelmingness now. Like I get through my days and we get through life, but it does feel heavy when I think about what I've deprived my children of potentially, you know, time I've wasted, how he made me feel, the place that he allowed me to fall into, you know, in terms of depression and self-harm and again and things like that. But, you know, I'm sure over time it will make sense. But I hope for my babies that I can get to a place where I think I can trust another man again, because I don't want them to never not have that figure. Like, I know that they would love a father figure so much. It would be so, you know, incredible. And that's where with him, you know, I saw how devoted he was to his children and to his stepchildren. So I was like, imagine if I could have that for my children. Like, you know, he would have conversations with me about if Hendrix was having big moods, and he's like, oh, well, this is what I would do. You know, I would sit down and I would talk. Like, he's, the way that his parenting sounded was so on par with mine, just so beautiful and so gentle and so understanding. You know, if Hendrix was having big moods and, you know, calling me names and things like that, he was never like, oh, give him a good fucking whack, you know, like a lot of men might be. He was, you know, like, okay, well, we need to say this and ask this and do this. Like, it was really beautiful. Like, I don't know, maybe he doesn't even parent like that. Maybe he just fucking made up all this shit so it would be on par with how I do things. I guess I'll never fucking know. But I even, you know, during that time, like, I'd only met his daughter. I met his daughter at the wedding that he was at because she was there helping. And that's another thing. Like, if someone's talking to you and flirting with you in front of their child, you're going to think, oh, they must be available. Like, no one would put it on you in front of their child unless they were available, right? So she was an older, she was a teenage girl. It's not like he had this young kid, you know, doing this stuff. But, yeah, so I'd met his daughter there and I'd helped her out. Somebody at the wedding had made her upset and I went and comforted her and, you know, I'd bumped into her every now and then over the years and, you know, I really had compassion for this child and, you know, his daughter got sick at some stage and I was really concerned. Like I'd said in that blog, like I was researching things. I bought her this little care package and I said to him, you know, don't say it's from me, because obviously how do you explain where it came from or whatever. But I was like, this is really helpful. You know, give her this, this might help while she's doing this or feeling this, you know, got this EFT book to try and encourage him to get into tapping and to help Sarah get into tapping to release some of that anxiety or fear, you know, when she was having treatments or feeling sick. Like, there was so, so much of me spent trying to help him and help his children and, you know, love him through all of these big, confusing things in his life. And it's funny because he'd always say to me, he'd have these little vulnerable moments when we were together and he's like, I'm a bad person. I just hurt people. Like, I don't deserve this and I'm a bad person. And I could never make sense of it because I was like, well, what? Like, as far as I know, you had a relationship breakup where you weren't at fault. That was a really, like, horrible thing. I'm not going to go into, like, whatever, but it was, like, him not being at fault, you know. So it was in my head, I'm like, well, what? You had this marriage breakup that wasn't at your fault and it broke you, and then you poor thing, you met this woman who is horrible, like in all the things that you say to me, that she's not all there and she's got issues and she's, you know, puts all this pressure on you to be a dad to her children. Like, he's always saying, you know, she was having a go at him because he wasn't coming to therapies and doing everything for her daughter. Like, I felt so sad. I'm like, what have you done? How are you a bad person? Well, now it makes sense. Oh, you are a bad person. All you do is hurt people because you are having 8,000 affairs. Like, I know of this woman in Grafton. There have been other women now that have gone, oh, he was with the maid of honour at this wedding and he's done this and he's done this. Like, so I'm not special. This Grafton one is not special. There's been multiple in that time of, yeah, his relationship with that person. So anyway, if we take anything from this, men ain't shit. No, I'm sure, look, I'm sure they're probably, like, I've got a brother-in-law who, as far as I know, has never cheated. Like, I don't know where he would get the fucking time for it, but, well, who knows? Now I've learned that they'll fucking make time. As far as I know, my brother-in-law is an incredibly loving, devoted husband. But in the back of my mind now, I'm like, is he? Are you? I'm gonna fucking watch you. Should I fucking set him up? Try and see, because I'd stab him if you did that to my sister. Like, there probably has to be incredible men, but I'm very fucking tarnished now. And it's sad that that's where it is. But how can I feel any different? Like, all of the relationships that I've had and then master manipulator takes it out. He just fucking knocked me down and went, nah, sorry, you can never have faith in men again. Fucking, maybe I'll just have to become, I say it a lot, I'll just become a lesbian. And I don't mean any offense to that, to anybody that is, you know, a lesbian or bisexual. Like, I know that it's not something you just be like, I'm going to do this, but I genuinely am sad that I'm not. Like, I wish I could be. Like, and I understand there's probably fucking women that are shitty and annoying as well, but I feel like I see a lot more healthy same-sex relationships than fucking straight relationships, because, you know, it just doesn't seem whatever. So I don't know, maybe I need to deep dive. Maybe eventually I can make myself become a full-blown lesbian and attracted to women, because I feel like they would just be nice. That would be nice. Maybe I can find a woman that wants to have a platonic relationship and we just get married, but we don't, you know, do whatever, and we just get on with each other and respect each other. Anyway, I should probably go, because this has been nearly an hour, although my last podcast went for like an hour and you guys were like, no, I wanted more, but I don't know. I'll just do some shorter, keep it around an hour for now. We'll see how we go, because I don't want people to be like, this is the most boring shit I've ever listened to. Like, maybe you are already there. Maybe this is an episode. This is nervous. This is nerve-wracking for me, because the other episode I had someone else to bounce off and we were actually conversing with questions. Like, now I'm just like rambling my whole fucking life story. Anyway, give me your feedback on that. I'm very interested to see. I've got a couple of episodes mapped out coming forward. I eventually will have other people that I want to speak with, but I was going to go on to a couple of different topics. I definitely want to talk about, you know, the court case and everything that happened behind the scenes. I definitely would like to talk about, a lot of people have asked me to talk about autism and, you know, the process we went through with the children and stuff. So that's definitely on the top list of things to talk about, as well as homelessness. So, yeah, but feel free at any stage to give me your feedback of what you think, what you want to hear about, what you don't care about, what you think, is it dragging on too long? Should I try and do it where I'll do an episode and then do someone else, a guest speaker? Like, I'm open. Doesn't mean I'll listen because it's me and I'll just do whatever. But my goal is definitely, I definitely want to have weekly podcasts. I definitely want to have these out every single week. I'm recording this, what day is it? Tuesday. I probably won't put this up until Thursday. I'm going to try and get in the habit of recording them, having them ready to go, so that on busy days, I've got no excuse, because I know life gets hectic, especially with my bunch. Things can just, you know, turn into a whirlwind. So my goal is definitely to get weekly podcasts out to you guys. But I'm always open to feedback, always open to what you guys want to hear about. If you want me to dive into anything deeper, if there's something that I haven't answered for you, you know, maybe I can do maybe once a month, or maybe, you know, every couple of months, you guys can put like some deep question and answers together, and I'll just do my regular podcast, and maybe one of the podcasts can be your questions and I'll answer them. Like, I'm always going to be an open book. Like, I'm here to share my life. I'm here to offer advice, even though I don't always listen to my fucking own. I'm here to just speak about my experiences, because I really feel that's where so many of us have growth, is hearing other people's experiences in life. you know, finding similarities in stories and being like, oh, fuck, you know, oh, okay, that might make sense with my situation, or, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to do that because look how that fucking turned out for her. Like, that's, I just want it to help people. I want to get it out there, and I hope you can resonate with it, or even just get to know me on a deeper level and understand that I am more than these headlines. I'm always going to be controversial. I have decided I'm wearing that crown with pride. It's, you know, at the core of my being now. I'm happy to have that title. I'm happy, like, maybe the world does need more controversial. We've become so fucking soft and so snowflaked, and people just pretending that they have their shit together. We've got polished fucking Instagram houses. We've got airbrushed fucking bodies. We've got people pretending they've never made a mistake, which is not fucking true at all. Like, maybe you haven't had a 4-year fucking affair with someone, but I guarantee you, if I dove into every aspect of your life, you would have deep, dirty secrets that you would feel embarrassed if it was out there, that you would deny, that you would be like, fuck, I know, I can't believe I did that. I'm so embarrassed. Like, every single one of us has made a mistake, whether it's a fucking 4-year affair, whether you fucking blew your boss under the desk. Side note, I've also been with my boss previously in different jobs. We can go into that one. But whatever it is, you've done something that's not perfect and a little bit controversial. And some of us are just more outspoken. And I'm happy to wear this crown, to be outspoken, to be labeled controversial by simply being real and voicing our opinions. And we do. We need more real. We need less snowflakes. I was chatting with my nail lady this morning and I was saying, you know, if Eminem was to come out now, like if he came out today, we'd never heard his music and he came out today, he would not be played. I mean, he already struggled back then, you know, he fought to get where he was, but he would be immediately cancelled. There'd be no ifs, buts, maybes. He would be cancelled because we are just that fucking soft now. We don't let people have different opinions. We don't let them have loud opinions. We don't let people speak for themselves. We're just like, oh, shush, I don't like your view, so I don't want to hear it because that doesn't align with mine and that hurts my feelings. Like, you're hurting my feelings, so you need to change everything to satisfy me. Like, no, no, we fucking shouldn't have to do that. That's so fucking weird to me. Anyway, I rambled long enough, or maybe not long enough, but long enough for me right now because I'm busting to pee and I really need a fucking drink. And I'm actually shitting myself that this audio will be worse than the last one and I'll have to redo this again and then I'll cry my eyes out. So anyway, wish me luck. Pray that you're listening to this one right now. And I look forward to doing my next podcast. Stay tuned. Again, make sure you leave me feedback. Let me know what you guys want to hear about. If you want me to answer anything I didn't speak about, or, you know, if there's part of that affair you want to know a little bit more, like whatever, open book here. So let me know. But have a beautiful week. Probably getting posted Thursday. So we'll go have a beautiful Thursday. Enjoy your weekend ahead. And I will chat to you all very, very soon. Thank you all for listening to my podcast. Make sure you are following all of my socials. We've got Instagram with Sarah Mills _ amongst the stars. TikTok is Sarah Mills _ATS1 for now. Who knows until we get that one banned. YouTube is probably Sarah Mills amongst the stars as well. I don't know. Find a link tree. They'll all be in there. Thanks, guys.